This week in the Famicom Dojo podcast, we hang out with our kids, talk about Phineas and Ferb and what it's like to be a daddy gamer. Is it still future retro when it's the slight remake of a 20-year-old game? And Vink's file of shame is so shameful we cut most of it from the show. Really, it's that bad. You'll just have to wait until we release an audio bonus. All right, hold up a second. Before we got started, I just wanted to say thank you. Thank you for 3 years of podcasts and almost 100 episodes. Thank you to everyone who's been following Famicom Dojo from its inception almost, 7 years ago. And thanks most of all for your patience. I promise it'll be rewarded very soon. On to the show.
What do you want to do? You want to go to the park? We can't go to the park today. It's raining. You want to play a game?
Oh, sure.
What game do you want to play?
The Mario.
Mario? Which Mario?
The Mario Kart.
Mario Kart?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yes.
Well, Daddy's going to record a little podcast first. Then we can play Mario Kart, okay?
Okay.
What a trooper.
Yeah, she's good. Yeah, Sean, I got the kids with me today.
Well, raising them right, apparently, so that's all the better.
Oh, don't worry. I put on TV in the background, so they'll be safe.
Oh, gosh.
So if you pick up any of the background there, sorry about that. But
no problem. Unless we get sued.
Anna, put that down. Put that down. You're going to spill. Okay. And Sean, you too. Put that down. You're gonna spill.
All right. Actually, I'm playing a game on 3DS. I should put it down anyway.
You're playing a game on 3DS. What are you playing?
It's a little game that came out a couple of days ago, actually, which I had no idea was coming out. Maybe you've heard of it, Another World.
You know, I hate to break it to you, but I mean, it's new for you, I suppose. But that game came out 20 years ago.
Oh, this is the 20th anniversary version.
Okay, there we go.
We should probably talk about that later, though.
Let's talk about that later, sure.
Okay. So, at home with the kids, huh? We had a problem starting this show because I had to put my kids to bed.
You should have just kept them up. We could have just had the all-distraction podcast.
Yeah, if you wanted constant screaming, I guess. They were overtired. We were at the grandparents' house just a little too long tonight.
Yeah, that'll do it. That'll do it sometimes. Do they get totally spoiled there?
Oh, of course.
Yep, that's what grandparents do.
And grandma's got all these wonderful instruments laying around, like a banjo. Ooh. And guitars and electric piano and drums, and so he was just having a good old time.
Oh, I'm sure. So, that's the way it is most of the time. I mean, I try to have the kids, you know, asleep or, you know, at preschool or something, usually when we record our podcast, but it didn't work out this weekend, but I got to say, like, This is the majority of my life here, you know.
I mean, for sure.
Either you know, at work or hanging out with the kids, and it's definitely not a bad life. Well, maybe the work part, but I mean, it's not a bad life. But how on earth can we find time to game?
Right, I don't even know. And on top of that, you know, we do this show and we do the videos, which you know. They aren't out yet, but I'm still working on them.
Yeah.
We're still doing them. I mean, they get done at some point, but despite those things, I totally hear what you're saying. Those who still manage to listen to No Topic Required might have heard Zach talk about this recently. And if not, you should just go back and listen to the episode. But he's having something of an identity crisis, and I feel like I'm having the exact same thing happen to me. It's like, so
what to what?
Well, you know, there's Sean, the husband and father and workaholic.
Yeah.
And then there's Sean, the kid who swore he'd never grow up.
Oh. Oh, I think I had one of those. It went away about 5 years ago.
Right. Now, your kids are a bit older than mine too, so But I've been trying to strike that balance, you know, and like the more I get what I want, in that respect, the less I feel like I want it. So
yeah, I guess I can understand. And man, I'm in a place. I mentioned this last time we were talking about this, but I'm definitely at a place right now where like time is so much more important than money.
Oh you yeah, definitely.
I mean? Like, I never had very many games when I was a kid. You know, I got one or two a year, you know, and I played the heck out of them, even if they were terrible.
Yes.
But now I've got, you know, when it rains, it pours. I mean, you know.
Yeah, we literally have no time for bad games, but in fact, we have no time for the good ones now either.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, oh my gosh, and it's been brutal lately because there's been so many games I really want to play. I mean, I just got Mario Kart, and I've been playing that a little bit, and you know, just all kinds of stuff I want to get into. And I mean, last week on the podcast, I bought The Cave,
right?
Twice. On two different platforms, figuring I'd be able to play it on one of them. Haven't even installed it yet on the computer.
Oh, yeah, at least one of our listeners mentioned on Twitter that made his day. So, yeah. Accidentally buying it on the wrong app store.
Well, I don't know. I probably let that be a lesson to you. And right. Kids, listen up to this. Don't buy things while you're podcasting, because you might buy them on the wrong Apple endorsed platform.
Oh my gosh, you can't script that, you know.
That's the most. That's the what? You think so too? That's a cat. Cat. Yeah, that's good. That's good. What does a cat say? Oh, really? Maybe Japanese cats. I don't know. I think it says meow. Is that what prompted this? Me talking about the iTunes store? That's why you brought me a book about apples. Oh, I see.
Brilliant.
Anyway, Sean, so this is pretty much, she's holding a book in front of me to read. And this is exactly what happens whenever I try to game, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So thank goodness for Nintendo, I gotta say.
How so?
They make games that my kids think are cartoons.
Right. Well, like, that's, oh like, goodness.
For a couple weeks back there when I first got it, my daughter's favorite show was Super Mario 3D World. She really liked that. And oh yes, bear. No, that's a pig. It's a pig. Okay, go get another book. All right. So. I mean, that's what you got to do, though, you know, in between, of course, then they get a little too excited and they want to hit the buttons. Have you had that happen yet?
Well, this is what my older son does. He's very interested in the 3DS.
Yeah.
And mostly.
He shouldn't be. He's not old enough.
Right. Yeah. Well, I turn off the 2D. So okay. His eyes are fine.
Turn off the 2D.
Or turn off the 3D, whatever. Turn on, you know, whatever the right thing is to do. I do
okay,
that
you,
thing.
You do the parentally responsible thing.
That's right.
Okay?
But so mostly, I ask him if he wants to look at the people, because if ever he turns the Wii U on, he just kind of stares at the Mii Plaza.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, my daughter too. She tries to find which one's daddy.
Nice.
And I made them Miis too, and they want to see it. They want to see him, and they want to, you know, change the color of their shirt or something like that.
I actually made him when he was, I don't know how many months old. Less than a year, I'm pretty sure. I made him his own me, you know. I did the photo thing, so I like took a picture of his face, had him hold still, took a photo, and then it made a pretty good approximation. He was kind of sucking his lip at the time, so it even like made a nice like little inverted V shaped mouth, and it looked just right. So But he's really smart. Like he knows how to get to Netflix right away and start Thomas, because you know, because he'll go to the kids section, because it has all the icons of the cartoons he watched on it. Yeah. So he'll go to the kids section and then click on Thomas right away, because it's probably the thing we watched the most recently. Thomas the Train, for those who are curious what the heck I'm talking about. Actually, and for everyone else, when I say Thomas, you know what I'm talking about. This is his TV. Like, we don't have cable.
Yeah, neither do we. We have over the air, but there's really nothing on it. And gosh, my daughter knows how to use both the DVR, which I don't know how to use because it's all in Japanese.
Well, she can't read yet, though, can she?
No, she can't. But she just knows what goes where. You know what gets to the
okay.
What gets to the thing? You know, just from trial and error, I guess.
Well, I'm sure if a 4-year-old could figure it out, that you know someone who's many multiples of 4 could do it.
Shut up. Okay. And she knows how to get Dora to play on the Apple TV. So.
Right on.
And Phineas and Ferb, of course. Hey, you know Phineas and Ferb?
I do know Phineas and Ferb, and not because of my kids.
It's not that bad.
I really like it.
If you're going to have your kids watch something again and again and again, it should probably be Phineas and Ferb. Because right? Every episode's kind of the same anyway.
Yeah.
And the music's good. So there you go.
The first one I ever saw was involved time travel to the future. I don't remember what that one was called, but that was my wife was actually the one who was into it because she would watch before our first son was born. She would watch Cartoon Network and the Disney Channel stuff all day when she was home anyway. And so I got to know Phineas and Ferb quite well, and I actually quite enjoy it.
Oh, it's good. It's good. I bought this collection, which was the 104 days of summer vacation. It was like, I think it was $50 and it's 104 episodes.
Oh, wow. That's the name of the theme song for those who don't know.
Exactly. And so she can watch them from the Apple TV, like anytime streaming. So
that's insane.
And from the iPhone or the iPod, you know, once you buy something in that ecosystem, you can use it on, I don't know, probably the toaster too, if we hook it up right. But,
Can I complain about something then?
Go for it.
Since
complain
you brought
about
it
something.
Up, yes. I would love cross-buy on the Wii U and 3DS.
Indeed.
I mean, you know, apart from the aforementioned Another World, which we'll get into later, I promise. Yep. I also recently bought, because of the sale due to E3. I bought Legend of Zelda for my 3DS because I have a Wii version.
Yeah.
And if I ever do transfer it over to my Wii U, I want to get the discount. So I didn't buy it there. But,
yeah.
You know, it's like, why? It's Virtual Console. It's literally the same ROM dump. I have no idea why I'm paying twice for this.
Wait, you're talking about buying it on your Wii U?
And the 3DS.
And the 3DS. Yeah. Well, I mean, they make custom emulators for each of them.
Yeah, but they don't have to tweak it for every game. At least I don't think they do.
They do. They tweak it for every game to make it work really well. But that being said, they don't tweak it as much as a $5 indie game takes to make. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Like I don't think the tweaks that I mean, obviously they quality control it and it is the best commercial emulation out there, you know.
Sure.
It's better than any of those collection discs that came out, or you know, it is very, very good, especially if you run it off an SD TV, actually. But actually, I wonder the Wii U hooked up to an SD TV is as nice as when the Wii was. I just remember the emulation was spot on when I had my old CRT television and the Wii. I was very impressed by it.
I have never tried it with my Wii U. I don't remember. Like, I'm sure I had Virtual Console games before I got my HDTV, but I don't remember.
Well, regardless, I mean, it's something Nintendo shouldn't be doing right now. But the thing is, if they make it that it's cross-buy now, they will never be able to sell Mario again.
I don't buy that.
Really? Because, say that Nintendo did go all third party on us and it released the Super Mario Brothers on the iPhone, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be able to play it on your iPhone and on your iPad and on your iPod Touch and, you know, on whatever else. But, like, once you buy it, it's in your account forever and theoretically you'd never have to rebuy it. You know what I mean? And if Nintendo does that, you know, one person, one virtual console game, and man, what happens when you die? Can you bequeath your digital content to people?
I have no idea. How does Steam work? How does PS3?
I think you can give someone your password and they can continue to be you, but I think technically, you know, your purchases are for life, your life. Right. I don't think you can heirloom them.
Well, you know, they're so cheap as to, well, collectively maybe not so much, but.
But anyway, so yeah, that's what I do. But yeah, but Nintendo has made games that are entertaining enough for my kids to watch me play. And that is wonderful. And I've done a bad thing, Sean.
What? Again?
Yeah, I know.
You didn't try and mail me another kid, did you?
No. The postal rates have gone up. I think parents, you know, there was even a GIF I saw about this at one point, like some kind of meme thing. But any parent has done this, right? You know, you're playing a video game and your kid wants to push the buttons on your controller, so you give them a controller that's not hooked up, or possibly even for a different system.
I've heard this before.
You'll do it. Don't worry.
I've heard this recently.
Yeah, I think we posted something about it on our Facebook that someone made one of those, like, something. Some GIF or something. I don't know. But, yeah. The controller of choice for my daughter is the Saturn controller when I'm playing Mario 3D World.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. It's the dexterity is just a little bit hard. She's 4 right now, and she can do the D-pad or she can do the jump buttons, but she can't do them both at the same time.
Yeah.
She's a whiz at iPad games. Wow.
Oh, right? Yeah. Anything that involves swiping and tapping. Like, so yeah, like my son goes through my phone. He knows how to unlock it. He knows how to get to swipe to the page where with the photo icon. He can click on it, and he knows where the photos are, and he can go through them. And if he sees the icon for the play button for a video, he'll play the video.
Yep.
And he'll usually play it over and over and over again. And if it's a video of him, he'll giggle at the end and watch it again.
Yep. They know how to do that. Does he knows how to get to the games too?
No.
Oh.
He doesn't care about the games. He wants to text people and he wants to look at pictures.
I have gotten several texts from your son.
Sometimes he doesn't on his own. Like, he had my wife's phone.
Yeah.
And we were in the car and he said something like, "I want to text daddy." And we're like, "What, buddy?" And then I hear my phone buzzes. Like, what? So, I mean, it was as easy as, like, you know, going to the text messenger and, like, finding my picture.
Yep.
And then sending a bunch of gobbledygook to me.
Thanks, Apple. Thanks a lot. Thanks for making your phone so easy that even a kid can use it, because kids are using it.
Oh, God. It's just...
Okay.
Games, though, it's too much right now. He's only 2.
Wow. Sean, do you remember a time where if you had a favorite television show that you were watching and you saw an episode that you really liked and you wanted to watch it again, your recourse was to tune in every day for months until they played it again?
Yeah. And
but for my kids, they have no ability to wait, because they know very well that it can exist again in a heartbeat, you know?
Right. Oh, that's a thing. Like,
I don't know if that's a good thing.
My parents,
maybe it is. I don't know.
My dad would eventually record TV shows for me for that very reason on VHS.
Yes.
And so if I wanted to watch something, I wouldn't have to wait for it to be on. I could just watch the tape of the same 3 episodes over and over again.
We didn't have a VCR in my house till I was about 5. So when I was my daughter's age, yeah, there was no recourse. You know, just, man, that episode of Danger Mouse was great. Can't wait for two more, well, okay, you know what, I was going to say 2 more months, but there really weren't all that many episodes of Danger Mouse, and Nickelodeon played about 3 episodes a day, so you wouldn't really have to wait that long.
True, right? Yeah, but now, yeah, on demand, they can, it's hard. It's hard to, like, because he wants to watch Thomas all the time, every time he's in the room.
Yep. How do we teach? Well, my daughter's into this one called Wally Kazam right now.
Uh-huh.
Do you know this? Don't let your kids.
I'm not aware of it. No.
Don't let your kids see it because they might like it.
Okay.
I mean, it's, I don't know. It's based, every episode there's a prefix or a suffix that the kids are to learn, and they create, I don't know, magic words based on that. But the dialogue and the writing is so incredibly terrible. There was one episode that we were watching, and I kind of tuned it out for the most part. But I kind of picked it up, and there was this episode had a talking rock in it, and the rock went, "Wally, you rock," and then Wally was like, "But you're a rock," and she's like, "Yeah, I'm a rock, so I know what rocks, and you rock," and I'm just like,
"God,"
I'm just like, "Turn it off, Sarah," you know, this is, we don't allow stuff like this in my house.
Oh no.
You know, it's just oh man, it was brutal, and you know, it's humor like that. Oh, so I guess I do appreciate the Phineas and Ferb for that reason. It's actually it's got something for me in there. So
yeah, oh yeah, that is I don't even think that's really a kid's show, honestly. Like
yeah, I mean, like, you know, it's Phineas is coming out, and he's like, well, that was serendipitous.
Yeah, like, what is...
And I'm like, my kids don't know what's going on. They're just here for the platypus, you know?
Right?
I mean, yeah, the writing is definitely... Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. But, yeah.
Oh, what's the bad guy's name?
Doofenshmirtz.
Doofenshmirtz. It's so sad. Like, his whole story is so sad. Like, he's got this teenage daughter, and she's all rebellious, and, like, you know, his wife left him because he's such a doofenshmirtz.
Yeah, and he's got all these incredibly tragic backstories.
I know, it's just, oh my god, that is not
the truth. It's really easy to turn it around, and Doofenshmirtz is just trying very hard, and really the enemy of that show is Perry the Platypus.
Right? But Perry's so cool.
I know. Yes, sir? It hurts? What happened? It got pinched? Oh, I see. Sarah, what's your favorite video game?
Daddy, I like Mario Kart.
Oh.
Daddy, I have to play iPad.
You want to play the iPad?
Yeah.
What are you going to play on the iPad?
I have to watch the car game.
The car game?
Yeah.
The one with the purple car?
Yeah.
Putt-putt?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Sure. It's in my backpack. It's in the hallway. Oh, hello.
I should use my children as an excuse to get an iPad, because I've had the iPad version of the Back to the Future game for I don't know how long, because it was free. The first episode was free that one time, yep. And I downloaded it. I didn't download it. I bought it. It's on my account, but I haven't been able to download it anymore because I don't own a
iPad. Oh, yeah. I was buying iPad things for a good year before I actually got one.
Perfect excuse.
But I mean, well, you know, they're Christmas. Cheap. They're cheap now, though. Like, you can get a refurbished like iPad 2 or something for under $300. So
I don't know if I call that cheap. I'd rather get a PS4, really.
I guess you'll get more use out of the iPad, though.
True.
I'm not even kidding, though. I'm really not kidding because you'll use it. You don't realize you need an iPad until you get an iPad, and then you don't know how you lived without one.
Yeah. But I remember.
My daughter's only allowed to use it on weekends, though, because she was getting kind of. And even then, we limit it just because. No, it's okay. You can play iPad. I'm sorry. Sean, how do we game at all? I mean, really. He has an apple on his head.
I typically don't do it until the kids go to bed.
I guess, yeah, but. What time do your kids go to bed?
It ranges from around 9 to 10.
Okay.
Like they're in bed before that. It's just how long they take to settle down.
I guess I'm just so exhausted by the time that I get the kids to bed.
Well, I'm usually home before 6. Like you, I don't even know what time you get home.
10.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, in the summer's a busy time for Japanese kids and school. Oh, how
that's backwards, man.
That's way backwards, and I gotta say that I feel bad letting my kids even watch Phineas and Ferb because that song talks about the 104 days of summer vacation. They're never gonna have that. They're Japanese kids. They're gonna have like 4 days of summer vacation.
Oh, no.
There's a Japanese version of Phineas and Ferb, and I really want to see what the opening song actually is in Japanese. Okay. It's sort of like, there's 4 days of summer vacation, but you still have homework. You'll go to juku and then cram school, and then you'll probably be too tired to think of the rhyme.
If school is so good in Japan, why do they have cram school?
Oh, it's not very good. Because they,
oh, wow.
The cat has a banana.
Banana.
Yeah, a banana. So anyway, so you mostly game at night.
Yeah, I mean, I could theoretically do it during the day, like maybe during lunch or whatever. But basically, my day goes like this. I get up. I have not had an alarm since my second child was born. So he gets us up before I want to wake up, and I am, and then the second one's up, and then it's breakfast, and then it's getting ready for work, and then work. And then the moment I come home, it's, you know, give my wife a break time. So
yep.
And then it's that until bedtime, basically.
Oh yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, if the kids are still awake and they're not into the gaming that I'm doing, I'd feel too guilty to keep doing it. Like do I want to play?
Meow.
Yes, I want to play a big people game.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, but you know, it's, if there's anything scary or boring, the kids will, you know, not be into it. So I play games that they would be into, actually, and I'll mention that in my future retro, actually. So you just wait till they're sleeping.
Well, that's the time I can do anything for myself, really, including gaming. So game is actually not on the top of the list.
Oh.
For the most part, like, just check my email.
that's what the bathroom is for.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
I usually have like a laundry list of things that I want to accomplish after 10 p.m.
I know, it's kind of when big people's life starts.
Yeah, no, I understand now why my parents had such an early bedtime for us.
Yeah, I think my bedtime was like 9.
Yeah.
Next month my new house is done. So
yeah.
And I'm going to have a game room. Oh man, did I feel stupid describing it to the builders? I had to make up a plan, and I'm like, this room is tiny. It's gonna be like a closet, basically. And I'm like, I would like shelves on all the walls, please. And they're like, that's not gonna give you much room to do anything. All you'd be able to really do is sit. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, I need shelves that are 40 centimeters, and then a whole bunch on the bottom, and then a whole bunch of 35 centimeters. And, you know, he's like, those are kind of strange measurements. And I'm like, and I'm not going to tell him. I told him I had a record collection. That was my smarts. But I mean, I didn't want to tell him that, like, I need that dimension, and I need them reinforced so that they can hold all my laser discs. And then above that is the stacked height of 2 Sega Saturn games. So I'm such a nerd.
If anyone has seen the video I did about the GameCube adapter.
Yeah,
you've seen the shelves in my new place.
Yeah, those are really nice. Those are really nice.
Now take that. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 rows of those. Only 4 of them are that tall, though. The others are only half that tall because there's windows in the middle.
That'll be nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I'm very proud because my daughters like the retro too. They like the retro. My daughter loves watching Kirby's Adventure on the TV, being played from my Famicom.
Right.
And she also likes the original Mario, although she likes the new Marios a lot better.
Mm. Well, they're prettier for sure.
They're prettier. Well, I don't know if it's even that they're prettier. She just likes the cats.
Maybe you should just stream Twitch from your whatever all day.
No, not gonna ever do that. I'm not gonna ever do that. But yeah. So she likes to see the retro games, definitely, and that's good. And I'm trying to teach her how to play a little bit. D-pad plus buttons, yeah, it's hard.
Oh,
it's hard. But I think I'm gonna start with a game like Kirby, because she likes the character. It's pretty easy. And I don't know. She's playing Putt-Putt right now.
Nice.
She likes adventure games. Have you ever played any of the Putt-Putt series?
No.
I think they're past our time, really. But okay. I had younger siblings.
Okay.
They're made by Humongous Entertainment, which you might recognize because the head of Humongous Entertainment was
huge. No.
Oh man, he's going to be mad that you said that, because I'm sure he listens to our podcast.
For sure, yeah.
It's Ron Gilbert.
Oh well,
when he left LucasArts, he formed a company to make educational style adventure games. So they did the Fatty Bear series, Putt-Putt, Spy Fox. I think it was Spy Fox. I don't know.
Well, did he?
Something.
Was he the one that did Oh, what's the game called? I just heard about it a couple of days ago.
Ron Gilbert? Death Spank?
Death Spank, yes. I had not heard of Death Spank until like 2 days ago.
Oh, really? It's worth playing, the first one at least.
Oh, but there's three of them, so they're not all worth playing?
I don't know. I've heard that the third one kind of was only... I don't know if Ron Gilbert was involved in all of them, actually. Okay. I don't know. I only have the first one, and it's not an adventure game though.
Oh, really?
It's like a comic, like Diablo.
Interesting.
It's worth happening. There's a lot of references to bacon. In fact, I think the second game was called The Baconing.
Nice.
Just a moment. Here we go. Sarah, let your sister play with the penguins as well. Yeah, so, but like these games came out on PCs in like the mid-90s, early 90s, probably early 90s, like 93, like shortly after the Monkey Island series. And I don't know, they were computers who had CD-ROM drives, you know, that was the new cool thing, you know.
Right.
So they ported these to that, and I think most of them came to the 3DO as well, because it was supposed to be billing as a partially educational multimedia system.
Right.
But what's really cool is as the like Monkey Island games started getting iPad ports, and like a lot of those older games like Simon the Sorcerer got ported to, you know, the iOS devices. They ported these as well, and they're actually way more playable when you can touch things rather than clicking on stuff.
Oh no, yeah, those kinds of games, just such a good translation.
And they're actually really quite good. The art is amazing, really. And I mean, what's amazing is they looked, you know, if you ran them on a computer now, they'd look pretty old, but with a smaller screen of the iPad and stuff. I don't know. They look really nice. It's if you have kids, yeah, the Putt-Putt series, they're on sale right now too. Putt-Putt. I think all of them are like $1.99 right now. And they're universal, so they'll run on a phone or an iPad.
I feel like now that we should have possibly chosen Future Retro and Pile of Shame games that were more kid oriented, but we just didn't do that.
I did.
Oh, you did? Okay. Well, I didn't.
All right. You go first then. We'll get it out of the way.
Should I go first? Okay. Well, this game is almost old enough to drink.
Ooh.
Yes.
In Japan, it can drink.
Yeah, we may have been talking about it a couple of times during the show already.
Yeah, well, let's pretend. I'll pretend to be shocked. And
okay. It's called Out of This World.
Oh, I loved that show.
What?
Don't you remember? Like her dad was an alien, and she like talked to him like through this.
Oh. No,
that was a show, right? That's not a dream, right? That no, was a show.
I think so. Like I.
Time to look it up. Oh, good. I'm not crazy.
Oh, jeez. No. It's also called Everywhere Else is called Another World, which is the name of the actual game. It's Another World 20th Anniversary Edition.
That's not what it's
called in Japan. Well, what's it called in Japan?
It's called Outer World.
Outer World. That kind of makes sense.
Yeah, because it's kind of like outer space. Yeah.
So here's my thing, right? Like, I knew about this game from the Super NES version that Interplay did, or published. Ooh. Anyway.
Yeah, it was not made by Interplay, was it? But they published it in all of its versions in America, I think.
Oh, and okay, yeah, that makes sense. No, Delphine Software,
yep.
are the developers.
French company, right?
Yeah, with a name like that, I would think so.
Yeah, they did. What else did they do? Future Wars? Did you play that?
No.
It's fun. I bet that sounds like something good old games would have. I would look for it.
Right.
Great game.
I will do that. So here's the thing, right? This game came out on Wii U and 3DS. I only found out about it because of a stupid Twitter aggregate email thing that I always ignore. But okay. I ended up clicking on it this time, and there was Nintendo Life article about it came out 2 days ago. And about a week by the time this podcast comes out, and I was so gleeful. I texted you right away, and as I was downloading it,
oh my god,
it was on 3DS.
You sounded so happy. I don't think I've ever seen you swear so much though. It was amazing. But yeah, you sounded so happy.
Oh, so happy.
I remember you went, it's on 3DS and it's on Wii U. And I'm like, which one are you going to buy? And you're like, both.
And I'm
like,
did.
And I said, well, how much does it cost? And you said, and you said, who cares? It could be $100. I'm buying it.
I love this game so much. For those of people who haven't played it, and especially if you played it on a Super Nintendo.
Oh my God. Delphine Software made Shaq Fu.
Oh,
never mind. I don't like them anymore.
Oh no. Are they responsible for the new one?
No, they folded in 2004.
Oh, that's too bad. Well, who made this review? I gotta do more research on this.
Well, I guess the original guy, the Eric Chahi. Oh my gosh, I don't even remember. Eric. Eric rebought the rights after they folded. He bought them back, and I know the iPhone one I have is by Bulky Pix. I don't know who did this new one though.
Okay. Well, I mean, it still says Delphine Software on this, so maybe he like reconstituted it. I don't know. Let's do some research on that. But I love this game, and I have loved it for the last 20 years because it's all like vector or at least polygonal animation. And
that sounds illegal. It's polygamous animation. All right.
It's better than.
Okay.
Monochrome.
Yeah. Okay.
No, but it looks so good and smooth on the Super NES. This is before the Super FX chip. It didn't even need it. You know, it's like all 2D flat animations. But it had this space about it, especially like that car like swinging from the foreground to the background.
Oh
like,
yeah,
in that opening shot and it was so simplistic, and I've heard it was an inspiration for the minimalism that was put into Shadow of the Colossus.
That makes sense. I can totally see the connection there. I remember at the time they wrote on the box art they went using the same high powered polygon technology as modern flight simulators, and I'm like
that didn't sell it for me. I'm like, wait, it's a flight simulator? I'm like, what? But I'll tell you what sold it for me. Mm. I was my first time ever to go to the Mall of America. So this must have been 1989, 1990, something early. Maybe even earlier than that. I don't know. I went to some software store. I believe it was either a Babbage's or a Software Etc., which tells you it wasn't recent. And they had these demo discs available at the counter, and they were originally 99 cents, but they were marked down to a penny.
Ooh.
So I bought 20. because I'm a jerk. You know, because I mean, they were supposed to, you know, demo, but even as a very young kid, I had that thought that, you know what, I can just use these to store stuff I download, or, you know, I mean, or, well, I guess I wasn't downloading at the time, but, you know, I can copy stuff with these, you know. So I thought that was a pretty good deal for blank discs. But I actually gave a few away to my friends, because but one of the games on the demo disc was the first level of Out of This World. And it had that cool cutscene in.
Oh, nice.
The beginning. And it ended right after the first time you meet the giant wolfy thing, which makes it not a very good demo, because really all you gotta do is run, you know?
Right.
But wow, was I wowed.
Right? It's just, it's so pretty.
It was like nothing I'd seen at the time. And
was it Out of This World?
Yeah, it was I was out of wild though when I
no, what's really good about this game, I think, is well, it's a science fiction story, yes. Right? Like this guy's like a particle physicist, and he's like in his
It's the super collider, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before well, that makes it like more likely to be French too, so yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
But you know, he gets transported to another world, and you know, there's no dialogue, there's no text, there's nothing. It's just
there's no dialogue, but it has one of the most intense stories. And I think that's the ending.
That speaks
so many volumes for, and it was hard.
It was so hard. Like, this is a game that punishes you for not doing things correctly, and it'll send you back farther than you would like to go. You get password saves.
I played the game on my Apple IIgs, which makes it one of the last games released on the Apple IIgs, one of the last like big commercial games. And I remember being so, I mean, it was much more than that machine was supposed to be able to do.
Sure.
And I just realized just a few days ago, actually, that I guess the Apple IIgs version was actually a direct port from the Super Nintendo version, because really? they have the same processor.
Well, what was the original? Well, okay, I have a lot of questions then, because
it's originally an Amiga game.
Okay, Amiga, that makes a lot more
Amiga's
sense.
Amiga's first, and then they ported it to the Super Nintendo. I guess because the Apple IIgs actually shared a common processor, they both shared the 65C816 microprocessor.
Okay.
But I guess it's the only game that was directly ported from the Super Nintendo.
Oh, interesting.
To a computer.
Okay.
But yeah, they had similar graphics hardware too. But anyway, I don't know about that, but what I do know is I think that's the first time I ever saw a video game on a console with loading time.
Yeah, I totally forgot about that.
Yeah, it had that little clock that came up, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. This version doesn't have that, so I had totally spaced until you just mentioned it.
Yeah, because it had to get all the polygons ready to go. Yeah.
Oh God, it's so crazy. That explains a lot. That's why it's so good. Well, okay. So this version, the Super Nintendo one, having been my first one,
yeah.
There's a lot about subsequent versions that confused me until I learned more about the history. So there's a Sega, this is a Sega CD version, which has the sequel, yep, Heart of the Alien, on it as well. And
they were released as a dual pack. I know Heart of the Alien was Sega CD exclusive, but
yeah, they were part of the same disc.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
So of course, there's a lot of great CD quality music, but it's completely different from the music that I'm aware of. And I picked up this version of the game, and the Super Nintendo track is not on it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So,
But I think the Super Nintendo track, there was definitely some music licensing stuff going on. There? I know, because like some subsequent ports, had problems getting the same. There seems to be a lot of different versions of the music.
Interesting. That might explain a lot. So there are three versions in the 20th anniversary edition. There's the original, as it's called. There's original plus CD console, which is,
okay,
I think, the one out of three that I favor the most because it has the most incidental music. And then the remastered version, which I guess must be the original remastered. So there's not as much music, which I felt really set the tone. So it's just kind of quiet and eerie most of the time. And I don't think I like that as much.
Oh my gosh! Honestly. The Super Nintendo version was ported by Becky Heinemann Berger. I don't know the same. Okay, never mind. I'm an Apple IIgs nerd, and that's a big name. That's a big name in that scene. But okay, the original ports of the original versions of the game only had music for the opening and ending.
Really?
Yeah, the original version, the original like Amiga version.
That's...
So the cinematic music added was made basically just for the Super Nintendo version, and then it got licensed to some other console ports, but like it's not owned by Delphine Software, I guess. It's kind of owned by Interplay or the original creator, something like that.
That explains a lot.
So Rebecca Heinemann said, Interplay won't pay for the Super FX chip, so I found a way to do it with static RAM on the cart.
Wow.
But Interplay won't pay for the static RAM either, so I ended up using fast ROM instruction. This is incredible. I want to read this whole interview.
Women.
And Interplay won't pay for a 3.6 megahertz ROM either. So frustrated, I moved back to my code into the DMA registers and use it as RAM running at 3.6 megahertz. It worked. I got fast block moves on slow cartridges and made a game using polygons working on a 65816 with pure software rendering.
Oh my god, that makes it even more impressive.
Oh my gosh. Because they didn't do it with the Super FX card or any of the extra chips. Anything extra. It's just standard cart running from software with no hardware rendering. That's nuts. Wow. Sorry.
I have a Super Nintendo copy of this game, and it's still my favorite by far. But I like this version. It's very pretty. The 3DS and Wii U ones are pretty much identical.
Yeah.
The only thing that's different that I can tell is that there is an option on the Wii U version to change the screen size. But it's, you know, it's widescreen. There's like all new graphics, like the backgrounds have been redone to be high res. There's like a low res version, which just, you know, kind of adds the pixelation to it, like the original polygons, and the original backgrounds are still there. So you can play it. You can play it either way, and then flip between the three different soundtracks. And there's no password save, which is really nice. So once you get to a new scene, whenever you stop the game, you're able to start at anyone you've unlocked. And then there's this option.
That's nice.
It's so nice. Oh my gosh! Because remembering those passwords,
you're gonna die a lot in that game,
right? And you can clear your progress from the main screen at any time.
I mean, I loved that game, but it was really just memorizing patterns, a lot of it, you know.
But the story, like, I had to know what happened next.
Oh, exactly. Oh, and it was just told so amazingly. You know, to tell you the truth, I mean, I don't have the 20th anniversary edition, and I probably should get it.
Yeah.
But I can't help but think that it wouldn't look good just running exactly the same graphics, just at a higher resolution.
No, I think it does. It does. In fact, I felt like it looked like the original until I flipped it to the low res mode. I'm like, oh, this is it. So it looks better, for sure.
Huh. Interesting. Because the 3DO version,
which I've never played. I've heard from Facebook that's someone's favorite version.
Well, it added bitmaps to the graph, so it wasn't just flat polygons. But actually, a lot of people say it doesn't look as good because it makes it look too flat.
Yeah, it's very artistic the way it is. So your mind has to fill in the lack of shading.
Exactly.
They're shading, but there's like a texture, as I should say.
Yeah. So I don't know. Oh, what a great. All right. Just crap. I'll buy it.
Okay. I have to track down a 3DO now just to play this version, because you know how we feel about ROMs.
What 3DO wouldn't even have ROMs. It would have to be like a disc image or something.
Oh, I suppose.
You know, you should have a 3DO anyway. There are some very good games on the 3DO.
You know, there. Maybe instead of doing this, we should just encourage someone who once upon a time did a show about 3DO to review it.
Yeah. That's
right. So I think that's probably enough time on Another World, even though I could obviously talk about it forever. What's your future retro?
All right. My future retro this week is a game that can I add a caveat?
Oh, of course. I love caveats. They're delicious.
This is not a game that will be remembered. I mean, I know our future retro is to find a game that we think in the future will be seen as like a classic or something like that. But sure. This one won't. But it's probably the game I've been playing the most of this week.
Okay.
And it is Phineas and Ferb, The Quest for Cool Stuff.
Ah.
Which I've been told is not the best Phineas and Ferb game. That the one that came out before it on the Wii was significantly better. It is a game I picked up because it was like $20 and my kids love the show so much, you know.
As do I, apparently. Maybe it's
a
game, huh?
But what's great is it's got the voices from the show.
Nice.
And a lot of the humor. The humor is hilarious. The game itself, though, it looks like a Flash game back in the Macromedia days, you know what I mean? It's really like the voices are wonderful, but the lips don't sync, and the characters are everyone just looks like they're made out of Flash. But the story itself is really funny, and the gameplay is not terrible, you know. Okay. But I mean, it does have that look of, you know, it has the shovelware look about it.
Yeah.
But I mean, they clearly got all the voices together to do voices for it. It's not just clips from the show.
Sure.
Okay. It's specific to the game. And that's the best part. That's what keeps me going to, because it's got the show's trademark humor in it.
Okay.
But I mean, it's pretty flat. Like there's not a lot of different enemies. The level designs are pretty much all the same, and it's pretty short. I know, because I haven't been playing that much. I've put maybe 5 hours into it, and it tells me I'm 40% complete.
Oh, okay.
And that includes me going back to the stages that I'd already completed because my daughter wanted to see him again. So, but you know, you basically have this giant robot that Phineas and Ferb built that has like a drill on the front, and you upgrade it with different abilities as the game goes on, and which allows you to access different stages. There's certain doors that you couldn't get through until you upgrade your drill to be able to get through them. Oh my gosh,
sounds familiar.
What game does this sound like? And there's a lot of branching paths that you can go in, and you have to revisit different levels again and again to get to areas you couldn't get to before because you need different devices to get in. Oh, it's Metroid, isn't it? Nice. Oh my gosh, this is Metroid for 5-year-olds. If they like this type of game and it can get them into a game like Metroid, then this game has justified its existence right there.
But shouldn't Metroid get them into Metroid?
Metroid's hard though. Yeah, a little kid's not gonna be able to play Metroid right off the bat.
Right.
But still, it's interesting. You've got the parts where you play as the boys and their giant robot, and you've got parts where you play as Perry the Platypus, and it's fun.
Wait. Play as Perry?
Yeah, you can play as Perry.
Sold.
They do it in an interesting way that it has a running... that when you're playing a Perry stage, there's a running commentary from Doofenshmirtz.
Oh,
because
no.
Perry's always infiltrating his lab, and he's left pre-recorded messages all over the place.
Oh my god, he's like GLaDOS. So,
yeah, pretty... Oh my gosh.
These are a triumph! I don't know, maybe not so much a triumph as a sort of, you know, stepping stone to triumph, but
that's actually pretty good. You know, I think we've alienated most of our audience here, but like anyone who has kids, they're just nodding their heads right now. They're like, yeah, I like the one with the cheese. you know. Anyway, how about you? What's your pile of shame this week?
We've already talked about it.
My kids are listening to They Might Be Giants now all by themselves.
Oh, you have done well.
Oh my gosh, I'm so happy. Okay, sorry, continue.
We've already talked about this, so I won't spend a lot of time on it because I'm deliberately not going to play it, but I just bought a game and it's going immediately onto the pile of shame.
Okay.
It's No More Heroes.
Did you buy it just for that reason?
No. It's No More Heroes 2.
Wait. No, don't do this to me again. You already put No More Heroes on your pile of shame.
Well, that's the problem. I need to take that one off first.
Okay.
It's been 7 years, I know, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to play it, and then I'll play No More Heroes 2. This happens a lot where I buy things that are like a good deal. Like this is like $7 or $8, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, it's slightly used. Everything was in pretty good shape. So yeah. Like, all right, I'll buy it. And I got that at the same time as I also got Mario Kart DS.
Okay.
Despite that,
wait.
Online service.
Not 3DS. DS.
No. Right.
Okay.
It was significantly cheaper. I had already owned the game, and I'm still trying to rebuild my DS collection.
And despite that,
the online is gone, you know, I had good memories of it. And as it turns out, that game doesn't look as good as I remember it looking, and there's no coins in it. Like, I thought every mobile version had coins in it, but that one didn't. So that's why I was all like happy that Mario Kart 8 had coins in it, because that hadn't happened on the console version since the Super.
You know, Nintendo. A lot of people find that's their biggest problem with the new one, is the coins.
I don't. All right.
Yeah, they don't like it. I don't know, but yeah, I'm really happy to see them back.
All right. Well, now it's my turn. What's on your pile of shame that I can make fun of you for?
I don't want to say anymore now that I've made fun of you.
Oh, really?
I don't. Yeah, I just realized the error of my ways in making fun of you because I have a much bigger one.
Really?
Much more shameful one. It's any version of the Wind Waker,
including the one you just got for getting Mario Kart.
Yep. Okay, this one is not a voluntary. I mean, I guess I can be blamed for the GameCube one, which is funny because I bought the GameCube Wind Waker and I made sure I pre-ordered it so I could get that pre-order bonus, which had Ocarina of Time.
Sure.
And Master Quest. Oh, no. This is going to get worse. This is going to get worse before it gets better.
How could it possibly get worse?
I still haven't beat Ocarina of Time.
Oh, that's it. You need to stop this podcast right now. And...
But because I wanted to beat Ocarina of Time first, I never really got into the Wind Waker. Because I bought, as I said, I got the Ocarina of Time as a bonus disc.
But those two things, I take it back, they are kind of related.
Well, I didn't know that it wasn't. In my mind, it was probably related because I thought the 3D Zeldas were kind of like directly related.
Spoilers.
And then I always thought I'd play it again, but and then now I've got the opportunity with the Wii U, and I just don't have the time.
Yep.
Because it is a game that unfortunately doesn't have any voice acting.
What?
Try to find the connection there.
Oh, that your kids won't be able to watch you play it.
My kids aren't interested in watching it play because if the characters talked in that, it would be a cartoon. I mean, look at that thing.
Yeah. Oh, definitely.
But because it's a lot of text boxes and I want to actually read all the text and not just move on to the next action thing, it bores my kids to death.
Well, on the other hand, you know, it makes it a very small download. It's like less than 2 gigabytes.
Yeah, it's pretty small. But this story has a happy ending.
Okay.
I think once I have the new house and I have a room that I can use for gaming and, you know, my own kind of space, so it doesn't interfere with whatever my kids are doing, I think that this is a game that I'm going to be able to actually get into. And with being able to play it off the gamepad and stuff like that, I think I'll be able to beat it this time.
Awesome. You know, since we both have space now for our gaming, we also have space now for video making.
Yes, yes.
So,
and I'm going to be buying a camera soon.
Right on. Yeah.
An actual video-y camera. I did some experimentation with using a still camera that had a 1080p video mode, but the sound was just meh.
Oh yeah, that's probably a little tinny and terrible. That's why season one sounded so bad. that's the exact kind of camera I used.
Yep.
We have literally a Baker's half dozen, which I guess is a half dozen plus one.
Yes.
Of videos that are in process right now in post.
Yes.
Or largely in post anyway, because you know Vic still gotta do his clips for them, and other ones that we're thinking about doing also, but we want to get these out in a batch very soon. It's also episode 100 next episode, so woo-hoo! We got a lot of things happening for right around our 7th anniversary, which might include finally the first video that we promised last year.
yes.
Which, you know, due to the technical difficulties and a serious bodily injury, we weren't able to finish earlier. So, but quite a bit of the work for that was done. That's a nice, long, complicated one. People want us to release quote unquote real episodes, and that's going to be one of them.
Yeah.
Can't wait. Cannot wait. But
it's going to be good.
I'm sure you guys can't wait either. We also have, hopefully, very soon, announcements about an announcement. So keep your ears peeled and your eyes. Yeah. It's going to be cool. I'm excited.
It is going to be cool.
So I guess that's all the time we have for this week then. Thank you, everyone, for listening. You can find more of this podcast on our free iTunes storefront or Stitcher Radio. Or we have our RSS feed, of course. You can follow us at Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Famicom Dojo to hear more about our upcoming shows, videos, podcasts. And we have, by now, the deadline. Has it passed yet? I'm looking at the date. This podcast comes out. You'll have 3 days by the time this podcast comes out to submit your episode 100 submissions. Finally, yep. So please get that done. We're gonna wrap that baby up, and I don't know, maybe go on vacation for a while.
No.
Well, oh, man. Dang it! No rest for the. It's summer. I want to do summer things.
Summer. There's only 104 days.
Not when you're a working adult.
Yep. Oh man. All right. Well, no rest for the wicked. So
that's right. So until next week, the dojo is
babysitting.
Famicom Dojo.